Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a blessed morning so far. It is 6 a.m., so we are ready to dive into soap, scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So speaking about prayer, let's open up in a word of prayer before we dive into Proverbs 19 and get saturated with some wisdom from above. So let's pray. Oh Lord, we just pause before we dive into this amazing chapter, Lord, that is just chock full of your wisdom for us. Lord, each of us needs wisdom in different areas. So I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our ears and our lives to the calling to be wise. Lord, help us to apply these sayings that aren't just sayings. They are actually life-giving words from you, Lord. So let us choose life today. Let us choose you. Let us choose your way of life. So Lord, we're expecting a shift in our actions, a shift in our lives, and a shift in our focus because of the power of your word, because of the power of your wisdom that you are raining down upon us today. So God, speak through me. Use the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives so that we can change to be more like Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen. All right, buckle up for a lot of wisdom today coming at you from the Holy Spirit and the living word. And this morning, I will be reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. I usually read from the NIV, but felt led to read from the ESV this morning. So here we go. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. When a man's folly brings him his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. A king's wrath is like the growling of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is ruined to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Whoever keeps the commandment keeps his life. He who despises his way will die. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. A man of great wrath will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and he will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Reprove a man of understanding, and he will gain knowledge. He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A worthless witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Condemnation is ready for scoffers and beating for the back of fools. The word of the Lord. Woo! That's a lot coming at you this morning. So I have a question to ask you. In what area do you need wisdom? I had to ask that for myself. In what area do I currently, in this season of my life, this week in July of 2025, in what area do I need wisdom? I'm sure there is something for everyone in this chapter 19 of Proverbs. And if you're not sure where you need wisdom, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. The all-wise Holy Spirit is going to download some areas of your life that you need to seek wisdom, that you need repentance, that you need assistance, that you need a good friend. Iron sharpens iron. Help me in this situation. I need you. And when you begin, or when we begin, myself as well, to understand the profound love of God and how he wants the best for you. He wants the abundant, the fulfilling, the wonderful life for you. It sets us up to cry out what has been repeated several times this month in Psalm 139, 23 to 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way to everlasting. We all need to cry that out because none of us are perfect. But being imperfect, there's beauty in that because that means we need Jesus, and he's there to rescue us and help us and to download in what area of our lives, to call out to him and say, lead me into wisdom. So before the Lord leads us into these 29 nuggets of wisdom, let's review what wisdom is and what it does for us. First of all, these wise sayings point to us once again to the abundant life that God has for us. Proverbs are short, well-known sayings that express a common truth or piece of advice, often based on experience or wisdom. I'm sure during your life and your childhood, you've heard many such sayings from your parents, from coworkers, from friends. For example, my dad always used to say, "Anything worth doing is worth doing well." He was encouraging us to do things with excellence. Other proverbs or wise sayings, not from the Bible, but thrown around in my childhood were, "Action speaks louder than words." "Comparison is the thief of joy." "Don't count your chickens until they hatch." So keep that in mind as we go through and listen to all these wise sayings and analyze them and apply them to our lives. It's also wise to note that Proverbs are different from God's promises. There are over 7,000 promises that the Lord provides in Scripture that we can turn to and count on. But I believe Solomon's Proverbs encourage us to live a wise life that will activate God's promises and do our part of the miracles that God has for us. Secondly, wisdom is very, very, very different from knowledge. Knowing the truth is one thing, and applying the truth is a totally different thing. The Bible Project shares about the book of Proverbs. By reading this book, you will gain wisdom. For most of us, this word simply means knowledge. But the Hebrew word, chokmah, means more than just mental activity. It refers primarily to practical knowledge, and it would be better translated with the words skill or applied knowledge. That is why artists and craftsmen in Israel were said to have chokmah, that is, skill. The purpose of this book is to help you develop a set of practical skills for living well in God's good world. Or, as I explain to my children, wisdom is knowledge in action. I pointed out to them that the word proverb could be broken down into pro verb. We all know that a verb is an action word. So, Proverbs is pointing us to be pro action, to apply the knowledge to our lives that we are learning. And to remind you of this, our visual aid is a cheerleader pom-pom. All right. If you've ever gone to a football game or a sporting event, you know that cheer that says, "Action, action, wisdom wants action, ACTION." So keep that in mind. I'm wearing my son's shirt from Liberty University when we went to a football game that was just very exciting. And boy, did those teams put forth action. Their knowledge of the game was put to the field and they used it. So the Holy Spirit saying, ACTION, 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 we want action. So, with that being said, I'm going to ask you once again, in what areas of life does the Lord want you to act, to gain, develop, and operate in knowledge? Pastor Mike preached on Sunday how we believers are groaning. In what area of your life are you groaning and you need wisdom? I always find the promise in James 1:5 very encouraging. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Not only does the Lord give us wisdom, he gives it generously. Now that's a promise. And you can see we've got a lot of generous wisdom in Proverbs. all the different chapters, especially 10 through, I believe it's 28, that is just saturating us with many different sayings of wisdom. So, going to ask that question once again. In what area of your life do you currently need wisdom? Proverbs 19 provides wisdom for many aspects of life, and this is just one proverb. And when I was reading it, I saw wisdom for poverty and wealth, wisdom and knowledge, family and relationships, integrity and honesty, obedience, laziness, anger, blame shifting, and God's sovereignty. I'm sure there are more areas, but these are the areas that jumped out at me. I saw six nuggets of wisdom related to poverty and wealth. So we don't really have time in 30 minutes to analyze each one. So I just picked out the ones that really jumped out at me in each area and category. And the one that jumped out at me was verse 17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. God has a heart for justice and mercy, and he wants similar action. Remember, action in our lives. The poor are often mistreated. God values kindness to them. And I just want to thank you all once again for your support for the DR mission, where they were able to represent each and every one of you and to be kind to those who are impoverished in Los Cocos and beyond. A family that was living in a shack now has a home because of your kindness. That's kindness in action, just not in word. Some children that live in an orphanage who have been abused and just horrifically treated in their life was given kindness because the Lord was using all of you and your generosity. And finally, not only are we giving kindness, but we're empowering those people that we served to be able to pass that on, to pay it forward, to allow the Lord to continue to redeem the suffering and poverty that they're experiencing with others. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But you know what? You don't have to go on a mission trip to be kind. You don't have to go on a mission trip to be able to operate in this wisdom. And in my believer's commentary, which I'm going to show this book again, it's a pretty thick book, and it helps me to be able to understand the words that I'm observing. Remember, SOAP is scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And sometimes scripture can be confusing or difficult, or it's using antiquated language. So I need help to fully understand it, or I just need encouragement. And there was this beautiful story that I wanted to share in here that said a father once gave his boy a half dollar, telling him he could do with it as he pleased. Later, when he asked about it, the little fellow said he had lent it to someone. "Did you get good security?" inquired his father. "Yes," said the little boy. "I gave it to a poor beggar who looked hungry." "Oh, how foolish you are. You'll never get it back." "But Dad, I have the best security, for the Bible says, 'He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord.'" Thinking this over, the Christian father was so pleased that he gave his son another half dollar. "See," said the boy, "I told you I get it again, only I didn't think it would come so soon." So it's just a little story to encourage us. And remember, proverbs aren't promises, they're wisdom for our lives. So that just spoke to me. And it doesn't matter how small or how large your kindness is to the Lord. The Lord will bless you for that, because once again, we always say, Deuteronomy says, obedience brings blessing. Another area of Proverbs, or another theme that I read in this chapter that I saw six times, was about wisdom and knowledge. And the two verses that jumped out at me were 8 and 11. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. Remember, our soul is our mind, our will, and emotion. And we do want to have sense in those areas. So we need to get wisdom. And we know that goodness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it just couples with the Holy Spirit to discover God's goodness. Verse 11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Woo! Who here has never been offended? I know that wouldn't include me. I think we've all been offended. So here, God is giving us practical action to apply His love, His word, to live a life that's abundant and to, when appropriate, overlook those offenses or bring them to the Lord and ask the Lord, what should I do with this offense? Dive more into the Bible. It'll tell you, go to your brother and sister and let them know how you're feeling. And half of the time, it was not intended. So let's choose God's ways and act. Remember, we want action in what He's telling us to do. The main message with these verses on wisdom and knowledge: wisdom brings life and honor. Foolishness leads to ruin. As one quote says, we are defined by our actions, not our words. And sometimes this foolishness is seen in people by blame shifting. This is something that jumped out at me. It's a pretty powerful Proverbs in verse 3. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, what happens? His heart rages against the Lord. Oh my goodness, that's a total blame shift. That man is not taking responsibility for his own actions and is looking for someone to blame. And here he's blaming the Lord. There was a note in my Bible that said, people ruin their lives and then blame God. Where do we need action in personal responsibility and redirect misplaced blame? Ooh, that's hard. It's easier to blame someone than to search the Lord and have Him search our hearts and say, where am I blaming someone else? We need action in that area. Once again, ACTION, turn this knowledge into wisdom and take responsibility for your life decisions. Timothy Keller is quoted. This is very powerful. Life changing repentance begins where blame shifting ends. Let me say that again. Life changing repentance begins where blame shifting ends. We could chew on that for the next hour, but God's got some more nuggets for us. And remember, this is a lot. So you want to seek the Holy Spirit and say, which one or which ones do you want me to chew on today, to pray about, to practice, to seek other verses in the Bible that deal with that same area? Here's another one, another area that there was a lot of advice from the Lord on family and relationships. And verse 13 is the one that jumped out at me. A foolish son is ruined to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. The NIV, my personal version regarding the wife, says, and a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping of a leaky roof. Who likes a leaky roof? Oh my goodness, we got to get buckets, we got to get mops, we got to clean up the mess. So, my husband Matthew and I are celebrating 32 years of marriage next month, and I can say that that verse has spoken to me quite a few times, and I have been that drip of a leaky roof. I don't want to be that. That's not abundant life for my marriage. So I want to seek the Lord and say, Lord, help me stop leaking. Help me to find another way to express myself than grumble and complain and keep pushing something that wasn't meant to be pushed, or that was meant to be taken to prayer, or meant to be taken to some friends and get some advice, or that's meant to be left at the altar and said, I give up this one. I'm going to humble myself to glorify the Lord and to improve my marriage. And the Proverbs verse that during one challenging season during our marriage was also in Proverbs 25:24. That said, it's better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. So, if you have an area that you're struggling with, there's more than just Proverbs 19. There's many more sayings that are going to complement and reinforce that proverb that we're reading today. So, here's another area that the Lord wants us to inspect our lives on: integrity and honesty. The two verses that jumped out at me were 5 and 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. This one must be very important because it's repeated almost verbatim in verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. If the Lord's going to repeat something twice in one chapter of Proverbs, that's a flag that's saying, "Woo, look at this, look at this." And the reason that I think that this is so important, integrity and honesty, remember that Satan is the father of lies, while our Lord is the Father of truth. If you lie, you are opening your life to the enemy. You're saying, "Woo, I'm going to partner with you, Father of lies. Come on in, buddy." So I can see why this nugget of truth and wisdom is so important and repeated, and we are encouraged to act in this way with integrity and honesty. Another area that you might be struggling with or need wisdom in, especially in this day and age when frustration and road rage and so many crazy things are stirred in the news and by different people, is verse 19. A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you will have to do it again. It's saying, don't rescue that person that's acting in anger. Let them change. Let them reap the consequences of their behavior to be motivated to change. Don't let anger take a foothold. And we know there's many other verses, countless, not countless, but many verses in the Bible. For example, don't let the sun go down if you're still angry. That is a wise saying. And a wise commandment in the word to keep us into the life that God wants for us, filled with peace, to be able to operate in the Holy Spirit with love, joy, peace, patience. So, in our household, when someone gets angry, we don't really let them get away with it. One thing that really cut me to the wick once when I was acting in anger. It was said to me, is that necessary? Ask yourself, is that necessary to get your point across? And, or when someone says, I'm uncomfortable with the way you're talking to me. Those are ways that we can address anger and show people the consequences of it, and to ask ourselves, is that necessary? And the Holy Spirit saying to us, I'm uncomfortable with your actions. Please change them. And my favorite verse, my personal favorite verse in this entire chapter, is on the theme of God's sovereignty, verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. This is very similar to Proverbs 16:9, which is always at the top of our itineraries for our mission trip to the DR. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. God's sovereignty trumps any human plans. To me, that's very encouraging because I'm imperfect. I want the Lord to trump. I want the Lord's ways to take precedence because I don't want to be a scoffer. Chapter 19 ends with verse 29. Condemnation is ready for scoffers and beating for the backs of fools. Woo! That's pretty powerful. That's not something I would want to happen in my life or be told to me. Condemnation is ready for scoffers and beating for the backs of fools. We don't really use the word scoffer anymore in 2025. However, in the Bible, a scoffer is defined as someone who mocks, ridicules, or expresses contempt for God, his word, or his people. They are characterized by pride, arrogance, and a resistance to wisdom and correction. Essentially, they are individuals who deliberately reject truth and righteousness. God's word of wisdom for us today: don't be a scoffer. Apply the knowledge that you have gained today and turn it into wisdom, not only for your benefit, but most importantly, for God's glory. So once again, in what area do you need wisdom? And if the area where you need wisdom was not in Proverbs 19, look for it, Google it, talk to others about it, ask in your connect groups, and there will be plenty of other proverbs or wise sayings that you can act on and you can have action in your life. ACTION. Let's close in a word of prayer and go out today living in action and wisdom. Oh Lord, woo, this was a lot today, and there was even more that we didn't even touch upon. So we're going to rely on you, our source of wisdom, to work it all out, to say to us what we need to do and where we need to do it and how we need to do it and to whom we need to do it. So God, we are just open to what you have. Holy Spirit, please fill us up. Please guide us. Please direct us. Thank you for all of your promises in the Bible that are going to partner and couple with these wise sayings to allow us to step into the abundant, beautiful, and full life that you have for each one of us. I thank you for each person that attended today and is seeking wisdom. Would you just bless them for their obedience and download whatever they need today to step into your destiny, into your fulfillment, into the plans that you have for us and not our own plans. Lord, we declare today that you are sovereign. We love you and we are so blessed to pray all of these things in the wise name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed day.